He covers the Chiefs.
With that, time's yours.
And you're in that place where you're in the playoffs.
He covers the Royals.
Blair, over there in the middle, on the left.
Salvador, just take us through your emotions.
He covers college sports.
But one great thing about the conference tournament, Blair, I think it gives teams hope.
And every now and then, he likes a good laugh.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
He's Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star on the program.
It's a brave new world.
It is, my
friend. Brave new world, my friend.
It is.
Ah, yes. It is the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It is Blair Kirkhoff, brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. You know, they're at I-35 in Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
That is right. That's where they are, I-35 in Santa Fe. You can find them online at robertbrogdon.com. Great deal is going on right now. Like the up to $13,000 below MSRP on GMC Yukons. Heard me right. $13,000 below MSRP. Buick Encore's $11,000 off. New GMC Terrain's up to $10,000 below MSRP. And you've got over 75 new GMC Sierra trucks to pick from that are 37% off. It's at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. Find them online at robertbrogdon.com. Mr. Kirkhoff, sir, how are you?
Doing well. Doing well. I hope you are too.
I have no complaints.
And you wouldn't be afraid to share them if you did?
Usually not. There's sometimes it's just not the best idea, you know. It's not gonna have the desired effect.
That's right. That's the important thing. If it would have the desired effect, then you would
like
complain.
Give you an example. Curtis was really upset at this sweet old lady that also happened to be a nun. And he was going to complain about it. And I'm like, dude, I don't think that's going to go over well.
That is so Curtis. That is so Curtis.
Scanning my memory and don't recall that happening.
Well, I wasn't going
to. That appears to be invented out of whole cloth.
I wasn't going to put any of my real situations that could be taken the wrong way out there.
It's possible. I mean, if she said
what's
something
so
stupid.
This lady, she's right there. She's being all nicey nice.
What is her deal?
And I said, you listen to me.
What's this with this, how are you doing, young man? And what's that about? No time for that. No time for people being nice.
So you went all Sylvia De Souza.
I did. Good. I absolutely
stood
did.
Stood over her.
What's up now, huh?
Oh, yeah? Yeah, who's nice now? Hmm? Not me. Boom. Roasted.
So are you going to Miami?
Going to Miami.
Are you really?
Yeah, going down Sunday.
Boy, you're excited, aren't you? Can't wait, can you?
I've never covered a Super Bowl.
Here's what I want to know. Is Jesse Newell going to Miami? Because he keeps looking for Bill Self over at the...
at Arrowhead, yeah.
At the press conferences at Arrowhead.
That's right. I keep waiting for him to come up. Bill?
Two days in a row. Obviously, guys, it's a big deal going
it
to the
is,
Super Bowl, so it's all hands on deck. I get it, because it's like that for us, too, but... I've just enjoyed 2 days in a row telling Jesse when he walks in, Bill Self's not going to be here, man. He's not coming. If you're looking for him, I can tell you it's not here.
He's up in the press box with us all, and he's got his laptop out, and he's pounding away, and some of it's KU stuff. He's
right.
doing some KU stories, but also Chiefs. Because you're right, it is for everybody in Kansas City, all media hands on deck.
Yeah, my friends who don't even work in the media, they've quit their jobs. And they're now just apparently analyzing the Chiefs and Niners for the Super Bowl. Some of them have jobs that you would think are important and would need to be attended to. But they've decided, no, not necessary. They're just going to talk about the Chiefs.
It's been 50 years.
I agree. I just like to point out, you know.
That's almost half a century.
We've mildly lost our minds in this town.
Yeah, we have. I wonder if it was like this and, well, it wouldn't have been. Like with Brady's first. The Patriots had been to the Super Bowl, like, four or five
85,
years earlier.
Yeah, it had been 14 years.
No, 96.
Oh yeah, no, I forget 96. I always forget that one in the middle.
Right,
yeah.
Right. That was the...
It had been... Their longest drought was 11 years.
Parcell. That was the Parcell team, right?
Well, their longest drought would technically be 15.
Yeah, right. I mean, the longest drought in between ones that actually happened.
Mm-hmm. So...
How would their longest drought have been 15?
Because they were 85, or 25. 25, I'm sorry.
Yep. From 60 to 85.
Or 20.
Yeah, the Bears were Super Bowl 20,
little,
weren't they?
Little sheepish.
Whatever.
A little
whatever.
Less braggadocious now.
Whatever.
Seemingly.
I was right there.
Boom.
It's all around
just
it.
Just smoked you. Oh, I was wrong. Sorry.
You punched a nun, Curtis.
Yeah.
Right, who's
I didn't
yeah.
punch a nun.
Yeah. And then stood
I
over
punched,
her.
I punched a priest. I didn't punch a nun. I did nothing. I haven't punched anyone since Scott McGee.
I heard about that.
Is he still living?
I don't know. If he's around town, he's gotta be going, what the hell? How'd this come up?
Why'd you punch Scott McGee?
We were in the same class. A couple older guys were like, dude, he said so-and-so. You going to stand for that? Well, he said so-and-so. You going to stand for that? Come on. You're going to. And so older guys, when you're in seventh grade, and even I was a bigger, you know, two ninth graders say, you guys are going to fight after this class or we're going to kick your butt. We went down there and kind of looked at each other, and someone finally threw the first punch, and we just were throwing haymakers at each other and sitting in the principal's office outside, and we looked at each other like, why did we do this? This was really dumb.
Because that's how
that was the only... My first scuffle.
That's actually an awful story.
It is an awful story. Wow. Outside the north entrance to the cafeteria at Raytown Junior High.
Say, that's the Raytown way. That's how things are settled.
We threw down.
You make two other people fight each other for no reason.
For no good reason.
Yeah.
I don't remember who it was. Yeah. But
because they were told
that
to.
That was the highlight of my seventh grade year.
That's
my first seventh grade year.
Seventh grade one.
What could go wrong with that?
Seventh grade
that approach.
Version one.
Yeah.
No fights my second seventh grade year. I was okay then.
You learned your lesson.
I learned my lesson in my first
seventh
grade year.
You were also 3 1/4. The next biggest kid was 140.
I was 220 pounds when I graduated.
Okay. You were still, I'll bet, slightly larger. I'll bet you were one of the bigger fellas in the class.
I was. When I was a sophomore, the coach Rice, saw me. Of course, I was in the attendance office in some kind of trouble. And he said, good God, you're huge. You have to come play for football for me. I'm like, yeah, probably not going to be able to make it with the grades there, coach. You might have noticed where I am right now.
Curtis Siebold, show killer.
So it literally was the grades that kept you from being an all-pro.
Kept me from playing baseball. Yeah. I could have played baseball, but I got pulled out of practice because my first semester grades did not pass the mustard. To continue to play athletics in the second semester. So I was pulled out of the Chitwood building in the middle of practice and said,
I'm sorry.
You're done.
Watch your mouth. Number one.
The Ted Chitwood building. The greatest coach in, one of the greatest coaches in Missouri history.
Okay.
That couldn't have been.
Coached the last undefeated regular season team at Raytown, I believe, 1980.
For certain athletes, that kind of gets taken care of.
Yeah, you weren't that good.
I'd have made the team that year.
Yeah, you'd have made the team.
I'd have played.
If you were really good, I'll bet they'd have got the grades done.
Mm.
That's how it works.
I don't know how that worked in Raytown High School baseball under Coach Clyde Thompson.
What's that line?
I'm naming everyone.
Professional.
The late Coach Thompson.
Is that professional athletes or?
And the late Coach Dixon.
They're better people, okay?
No.
What's it he says in that line? Is we
treat athletes different because they're better people, okay?
You weren't really considered a future professional athlete.
No.
So you didn't get treated differently.
No.
Okay.
I just said natural abilities. I could hit a ball far. That was my ability.
Foul?
Yes. Well, I had long hair. I had hippie hair, man. When I was, you've seen the pictures. And I took somebody, was playing against the varsity in a practice game, and I took a good pitcher into the trees and was walking on the bases, and they're going, you got to cut that hair now, hippie. You have to cut that hair. I'm like, you don't know what's coming for me, do you?
Boy.
I had a couple of F's last semester, and I will not be doing that. No, that wasn't one. I didn't know then.
He also wouldn't cut his hair at the local fast food joint, which cost him.
Yes.
He turned in his paper hat and colored pullover shirt and called it a career in fast food.
Ain't no happening.
So you know what happens when you don't cut your hair to make the squad? and to work, you know, a legitimate job, right. You go bald.
Yes,
that's what it is.
And then you get into radio.
The hair gods don't appreciate it. Well, then you'll not be needing that later. Blair, we had a fight.
Anyway.
We had a fight. Didn't involve Scott McGee.
Nope.
It involved...
everyone.
Yeah.
It involved essentially everyone.
The KU and the K-State folks. Okay. Got a text, sorry. What was your reaction like? Like, I wrote down, here's what I wrote down for us to discuss. You tell me if you want to go in another direction. KUK State brawl, the effects of the suspension, and how do we fix it? How do we fix not having that problem in the future?
I don't know how that can be fixed. I don't.
Well, you've come to the right place.
The suspensions for that type of behavior is supposed to discourage that type of behavior. We'll see a fight again. I mean,
not very often, though. I think they do.
Well, college basketball, you actually don't see this a lot in college basketball. I can remember, how many years ago was it? Cincinnati and Xavier got into a big, mm-hmm. big old fight.
2011? Did someone say it was 11?
Yeah, maybe about a decade ago, but bigger than what we saw the other night. And look, KU and K-State have gotten into some stuff, you know.
I was told earlier today that there was a fight in 61 between Kansas and Missouri.
There was. It was a big fight. There's some video of that out. The 61 KU-Missouri fight. The regular season game, I think, at Mizzou. I couldn't tell you who was involved in it. But yeah.
I was told somebody punched somebody else, and that's how it started. It was a caller who called in as a stump the chump.
It looks like it was Wayne Hightower and...
It was under the... I've seen film of it. It was under the basket and benches emptied, and it was really for the day. You know, for the day to see a fight like that was pretty unusual.
It says the scrap began with Jayhawks forward Wayne Hightower walloping Missouri's Charlie Hinkie square between the eyes, and then devolved into bedlam.
Wayne Hightower, pretty good
so
player.
So here's, I think number one. I think this boils over from a dis. I wonder if it boils over, and I think there was probably a little something to it. A dislike between Self and Weber.
Mm. Do you think that permeated the teams? The KU team.
No, I think the K-State team as much.
Well, they it happened in front of the K-State bench, right? So they it was closer to them. I was actually sitting on the other side. I was on the case, you know. I'm looking across from the K-State bench, so it happened on where I was sitting, my side of the court, but it was on the other side of the basket stand, so I was blocked for some of it. But so the K-State bench reacted first, you know, because it was closer to them, and then I think the KU bench reacted to the K-State bench is what happened. But once KU got involved, that's when stuff got really ugly. I mean, that's when Silvio picked up the chair or the stool. McCormick was swinging, you know. I haven't seen all the video, and I haven't looked at it today. But you know, I saw more swings from KU players than the K-State players.
But they got more suspensions.
The number of total games reflects that.
What 14 to 11?
Yeah.
Did they get it right on the suspensions?
That was we were talking about that right after the game. What they might do, and of course, in the moment, you're thinking worst case scenario. They could dismiss DeSouza, but. Some other people I spoke to said, no, you don't kick him out of the program. Best thing for him would be to stay in the program and not play. You know, just take away his playing, his right to play. And that's what happened. So he's not going to play the rest of the regular – it's pretty much the rest of the regular season.
He can come back for the regular season finale. Is that correct?
Yeah. And I think that's the most – I think that's the right punishment. Take away his right to play. And he's not going to, even when he comes back, he's not going to help.
And that's
he wasn't helping before.
I mean, Bill Self's, his own suspension is indefinite, right? So, it's possible that he might not play again. He may be clear to go.
Want to bet?
What do you mean?
And whether or not it goes more than 12?
No. Probably won't.
I think that was done to say, we don't care what's coming. We're going to make sure.
Right.
You know, we're aware.
They got in front of it.
Fighting anything. We're suspending him right away. Listen, I think the suspensions are fine. I don't have a problem with it. I'm not barking up a tree to make a point that so-and-so should have got more or less. I think both parties were to blame.
They were. But I don't go back to your – I don't know if there's a deep-seated, you know, Kansas State animosity. There is, obviously. I mean, there always is.
Well, between the rivalries, but I do think – I don't know. I just – I've always gotten the vibe that there is, you know – they don't do it the right way, and we do it the right way type of thing there.
I get that. I do.
But I'll say this. You know, a couple of things that jump at me. One, I have mentioned for a long time, I think it's ridiculous, the amount of taunting that goes on with no call whatsoever.
No call from the official.
That's right. I mean, they were not teeing anybody up when he stood over him glaring at him. That is an accepted part of the game. Well, we don't want you to do it, but nobody throws you out for it. And what made this a melee is because, and Bruce Weber said it multiple times, we thought the game was over, to which has been a poorly thought out response from Bruce Weber, in my opinion. Not that his kids are any more to blame than the Kansas kids. They're not. It makes it sound as though, we punched them. Because we thought the game was over. Well, I mean, that doesn't warrant it. You know, standing over a guy doesn't warrant starting a fight.
No, it doesn't.
But also, there's no reason to stand over a guy. And I've said this for a long time. I'm like, you know, I mentioned the one that I think is the most offensive, and I cannot believe the refs don't call it, is routinely guys do the I've got to step over you.
Yeah, when you're on the ground.
When you're on the ground, and a lot of times, and you see it in football even, step over you, and it's like there's just no way I can possibly stand up without hanging my junk right in your face, right? And I think that should be teed up, personal foul, whatever the sport is, it should be immediate. And if you can't physically get up without doing that, then you're not athletically gifted enough to be on this court or field, so get the hell off.
I think because of when it happened, with 1 second to go, Higgins didn't, or whoever, Higgins was the lead guy.
But they never have the guts to call
I think
because the coaches are going to yell at them. That goes on. You're not supposed to taunt.
It's an
obvious taunt that everybody knows is a taunt, and they never call it.
Yeah, I think it would have been called. I think that the taunt would have been called if there were 30 seconds, 2 minutes, whatever, and not when it occurred, which was with.
Then Higgins is a moron.
Well, a technical was.
And there are many that will back that statement.
Well, yes, they will, especially in Kentucky. But there was a technical called. I don't know if it was called in the moment.
It was called, 10 minutes later.
Yeah, because the team's brought back. And
but that's my point. He like, taunting, like, this is my frustration. They have an obvious problem in football and basketball, particularly in football. Before the game, we have fights all the time.
Yeah, there are. High profile, usually emotional.
Well, because before the game, there's nothing we can do.
Walked on my
side
of the field.
Sure you can. Absolutely you can. Go to the video replay. There are officials there. There are people. And, you know, staff it and be watching. And then go back and look at the video and have the video going and look at it and throw those people out of the game. But no. They don't do it. And so they have created a culture of from – kickoff or tip off to final gun, you don't do anything. But after that, it's you know, it's no holds barred.
You know, to your point earlier, I wonder if this was a Kansas State game at, I don't know, Texas Tech or Oklahoma State, and it played out, the end of the game played out the same way, an ill-advised steal at midcourt that turns into a layup attempt that gets blocked, and then, you know, let's say Texas Tech player standing over, would the reaction have been the same? And I guess the point I'm making is it goes back to the way the rivals feel about each other. I'm thinking it wouldn't have caused the ruckus that this one did, but it would have been wrong, and it would have deserved – any situation like that deserves a technical.
Right.
And deserves
– And had he gotten the technical, would they have continued to swing?
You mean
if the refs are running in going T, even at the end of the game?
Listen, I think,
or running in going, you're out of here, you're out of here. Would K-State have continued to fight?
I don't know about that.
Because I think the officials did a piss poor job of handling the whole thing.
You might have a better perspective on this than me, because I'm looking at my computer at the time,
right?
You know, trying to get a story.
Well,
I'm wondering if there was enough time for an official to come in and tee it up.
Oh, I think they were headed to dinner.
Well, I know the coaches were headed toward each other to shake
hands.
Right,
but I think the officials were headed to dinner, and that's bad officiating. Now, if you want to say, well, those situations don't normally happen, fine. Then admit that we did a bad job and learn from it and get better. But sitting around making excuses for why you didn't handle the situation is not getting us anywhere, right? Saying Bruce Weber, heading to shake hands, they blew it. Both coaches blew it. You know, security blew it. Everybody, like, trying to beat the crowd home blew it.
Well, you're right.
You're paid to do a job.
If an official was there running in there with his whistle blown and teed,
it would have backed them off.
In fact, the official could have stood, you know, could have gotten in between them, you know, could have pulled the Sosa off.
And there is an official down there, but he's not moving in that direction.
No.
And so I just think that they need to, like, listen, some good has to come from this. And I think the good that needs to be is, like, the NCAA needs to get serious about the fact that clearly just the comments of Bruce Weber, who is a mild-mannered guy, who by all accounts does do things the right way, whose initial response was, my kids thought the game was over. Not, we're embarrassed by this. This is not the behavior we want. It was, well, we thought it was over.
That's right. He did say that.
Okay, that's the wrong response. And, you know, so there's that aspect of it. I think they need to review. We've got to get control of before and after our games. All right, they got to do that. Because while this is a sensational thing and we talk and talk and talk about it, it's not going to help Kansas sell tickets down there.
Maybe just the opposite, actually.
You think?
Yeah.
Everyone's going to want to get down there? I'm not taking my kids down there.
I think your broader point's a good one, that there's still too much of this in the college game. I'm all for celebration and creative celebration, but let me
try another one on you, okay?
Ahead.
Just to see where it is. How about it's not Sylvia DeSouza? And I don't want to make it a size thing because Azubuki's bigger, but it's Mitch Lightfoot
with like a menacing look. At
it does the exact same thing.
Well, I don't know. I don't see why he wouldn't get teed.
Because I wonder if the fact that DeSouza, because every story is immediately written, includes the fact that DeSouza was at the center of the Kansas part of the FBI investigation, which had nothing to do with what happened on that court.
No.
But it's immediately put in there. So if that's the mindset of every writer when they write that up, is that not the mindset of every player that plays against Kansas? This is the guy who's at the middle of the FBI. And he is maybe only 0.1%, but in some way dehumanized. And so you can throw a punch, because the first punch thrown came from a K-State player. Do we agree?
Yeah, it looked like it was.
DeSouza's head goes. Oh.
Yeah, look like it was. Whether you want to call it a punch,
a shove to the face, whatever you want to call it.
Or an attempt of a punch.
The first
looked
blow
like James
landed.
Love was the first guy to.
Okay. Is DeSouza's head knocking back.
Okay, I got to see that.
Okay,
I'll take your word for it.
And that's my view of it, and I'd be happy for someone to show me a view where I really probably won't spend much time on it because after today we're done. But as far as I'm concerned about this, till they play again,
on leap day.
Yeah, and then we'll have to talk about it. But my point is, I mean, there's a little bit of DeSouza's been beaten on and beaten on and beaten on, whether it's justified or not. I don't think it's all entirely justified from the standpoint that there are others around him that gain, whether it's Kansas basketball, Bill Self, other Kansas players, the quote-unquote handler, the AAU coach, all those that benefit. And this guy has been drugged through. And when writers immediately are like, well, here's all his other alleged past sins, which we don't know to what degree as a 17, 18, 19-year-old kid, he's playing a role of manipulating whatever did or didn't happen, that I think that there's an element of, well, this guy's fair game because, you know, he's been involved in all this crap, so let's just punch him.
Well, there's a whole different discussion to be had about how Sylvia DeSouza's life has unfolded, his basketball life has unfolded, and who's got their hooks in him and how he's been basically treated like a slab of meat his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's an absolutely great discussion to have about that. In this case, in this moment, I don't think anybody thought anything about that. They just saw a human standing over another human flexing, and it was, you know, he was in the wrong. You don't have time to process who it is or whether it was Mitch Lightfoot or Sylvia DeSouza or Azubuki or whoever. And you know, I go back to this. If DeSouza had just walked away, if he blocked the shot of the guy that embarrassed him.
Oh, I agree.
If he just walked away, he'd be a folk hero. A folk hero. You know, that would have been the his best, you know, since playing Duke, right, in the regional final, his best moment at Kansas. But, you know, it turned out the way he did. But yeah, to go back, I think that his life is really interesting, and his basketball life is maybe more interesting than anybody else on that team, what he's been through and how he's been seemingly manipulated throughout his life.
And I think you can make a case that he should have left.
Yeah, maybe.
And you make a case that he's going to come through all this, it's going to teach him all these great life lessons, he's going to go on to be way more successful. But I can also tell you that I don't know that he needed this, because any mistake he makes is compounded by the fact that he's the guy at the heart of the thing. And I think you saw that in his apology, where he told KU fans he appreciates how when no one else would stand up for him, they did.
No, that's right. That's right.
And I think that's why he stayed, and I get it, but I'm not so sure that right now, if you had it to do over again, you wouldn't say to him, "Listen, you're always going to be this guy. Go be a new guy. Go play ball in Spain,
right, or make money at it,
or Kazakhstan, or you know whatever league will take you. Make a good $80,000 to $250,000 a year, and grow your basketball career there."
Yeah, no, I've thought about that with him.
No,
especially the way this season has unfolded for him. You remember, going into this year, you thought, "Oh man, it's great. He's got his year of eligibility back, and Kansas is going to get the guy that played Duke, you know, great against Duke in the regional final, and was really good in the postseason." He certainly hasn't been that guy.
Take a break. More with Blair Kirkhoff next here on the program.
The Program with Soren Petro,
who's lost a tremendous amount of weight from last year, but still is a very big man.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Joe Montana has the highest career passer rating in Super Bowl history. The quarterbacks are second and third on that list. Montana is at 127.8. Who's second and third?
Is there a minimum?
40 attempts.
40 attempts, so probably two games,
yeah,
for most guys,
yep,
in this circumstance. Second and third. So did Steve Young get there in one game? Because against the Chargers, I'll bet he qualified. So I'll try Steve Young.
Nope.
Didn't get enough attempts or not high enough?
Not high enough. Each of these two guys had.
Not high enough?
Or not, yeah. His numbers are not listed. I don't know. I just, they list them based on 40 attempts.
Because he was like.
Yeah, he had a huge game. But
I'm pretty sure he has the numbers. I'll try Phil Sims. Mm-mm. Guy was 22 or 25, and he doesn't crack the list. Oh, he doesn't have 40. That was his only game.
Bart Starr would have been one of my guesses. No Bart Starr?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is four attempts per game, Blair. Want to try again, buddy?
40 attempts.
You got to have 40 total.
Total. I would, two Super Bowls, I would think he would have gotten 40.
I don't think so. Well, he was throwing eight for 16 or something, you know. 40, huh? Well, Brady?
Nope.
No.
Warner?
Nope.
Ryan?
Nope. No.
I like that Sims guess. It's got to be more skewed toward the last 20 years.
Let me ask you just for help.
One of them is.
Did they play in multiples?
Yes. Each one of them started two.
They started two, exactly two.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How about Jim Plunkett?
Jim Plunkett?
Yeah, that's a good one.
His second at 122.8. The other player was 1-1 in his two starts. Active.
Ben Roethlisberger?
He has three.
Not Eli. He's 2-0. Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson. 117.4.
The clues I was being given by Jed were not helpful.
What was he
giving? Wears three. Seahawk.
What was the Seahawk? Three was just putting three fingers up.
And I was mouthing,
three games?
He wears three.
Well, I could not through that three. Shaggy beard of yours. I can't. I'm not a professional lip reader, clearly, to start. And then I can't see what you're mumbling over there. And then this, I'm like, Fly Eagles Fly. Nick Foles only started one. Ron Jaworski only played. Where are you going with this? You and Gavin are not going to be invited to the next game show night at my house because your clues suck.
Fine. Yeah, I am on the same level as Gavin. You are correct.
I think there are more similarities there than you might realize. Number one. I'm number one.
Always have been.
Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, what we're playing for. Get it for the big game. Get it on your way home. Go to joeskc.com. Check out the menu, put your order in, and pick it up on your way home. That's what we do. We picked up Joe's Kansas City for the game last week. So now I've got to get, like, so much food because we just keep, like, people want something new, so we just keep adding to it and adding to it. But thanks to Joe's. In fact, I had some leftover Joe's today in my lunch, as a matter of fact. Still got some ribs left over.
That's why you got out of the press box so quickly.
I knew I was going to have to eat lunch. I literally ate lunch in about a minute. Stunning, I'm fat. And I'm like, I cannot work my way through. You know, the slab hasn't been cut, the part that's left.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot get through this in a minute. And I am not going to rush ribs from Joe's. We're going to savor them and enjoy them.
You respect the rib from Joe's.
You will respect the rib. You don't respect the Joe's rib at my house, I will tell you where that rib is going to find its way. So Blair, what do they do now with the effect of the suspensions? It does nothing to K-State because that season's going nowhere, right?
Right.
Sorry.
That's true.
It is.
That's just
that is
true.
Hey, great win over West Virginia before coming into KU. That was
Bruce Weber, he just does it to you, man. If he has a decent shooting night with his squad, he'll beat you.
Yep.
He's a good coach.
How about lucky for Kansas, ESPN's game day is coming in Saturday.
Oh, they're so thrilled.
Oh, boy.
To show the fight on a loop.
Yeah, and everybody coming in there said that, like, Sylvia DeSouza should be, you know, everything short of sentenced to life in prison.
Drawn and quartered.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Like, did you see? I get that. I don't mind the guys, Fran and Boog, on the court. By the way, One Network employs Boog and Boog. How about that? Have you ever noticed that? Could we get Boog Shambi to do Monday Night Football with Booger McFarland so we could have Boog and Boog?
Boog is widely loved by people who watch him.
Boog gets too much grief.
He does.
He's a better color analyst than he gets credit for. It's just that he's been asked to handle Monday Night Football.
What he gets credit for is about a two. So he's okay.
I'm better than that. He's at least got an opinion.
Yeah. He doesn't bother me at all. I'm not a Boog hater.
You're right, though. I'm
a Boog lover.
He gets crushed.
Yeah.
And Tessitore is not bad either.
Yeah.
It's just not the number one team.
It's not working. Monday Night Football. Demands a little bit.
Tony Romo is going to make $14 million a year.
I did not know this. Is he going to Monday? He's not going to Monday.
The word is they're offering him $10 to $14 million to go to Monday Night Football. I'm sure they'll have him do a bunch of other things for that price.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, around the NFL. But yeah, $10 to $14 million.
Boy, Monday Night Football sure could use it.
So, by the way, let me tell you that means Peyton Manning's turning down money up around there because they've been trying for Manning. So he hasn't been turning down, like, $80K.
Right.
You know, plus travel, though. Plus travel, Peyton. He's been turning down probably $10 million. Romo's worth more because you've heard him do it week in, week out. But I guarantee you, they're like, well, who can be Romo? Well, Peyton Manning's. Peyton Manning might be better, might see more and be funnier than Romo. Romo's not really that funny.
He's not funny. He's just alert. Clever.
But he is. He's fun. He's not funny. Manning might be funny.
Right.
But
like old school Don Meredith was. Remember?
Yeah.
That guy was funny.
It'll be great if Romo goes to ESPN for $14 million and Manning goes to NBC for like $20 and then is way better. It's like, oh damn, we can't win over here.
Did it again.
It's a curse of firing good people a couple of years ago, ESPN. That's what it is.
I've heard you guys talk about this, that Sunday Night Football has just left Monday Night Football in the dust, I think. I mean, better matchups. It seems to get better matchups. It's just more entertaining, for whatever reason, more entertaining. And
well, you know, not to be every man who talks about how the bosses all suck, right? As we all do in this industry, in every industry. But it does speak to me that ESPN got fat and happy on their own success and either got lazy or dumb in their management, because they were always on the cutting edge. And then NBC went, okay, we're going to pay for the talent. We're going to go get the best play-by-play guy, and we're going to steal him away from you. And ESPN went, well, we got Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
And we're the big deal. And Al Michaels came in, was big. They then went and paid to get the rights to bring the show. Number one, to get Boomer and Tom Jackson off doing the highlights. So when you wanted to see the highlights, you had to go there. Great, one game's running late, it's not over. But if you don't care about that game, you're on to NBC right away to see the highlights of all the games. So they stole that away from ESPN.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things that ESPN had done. And then ESPN, because of other bad mistakes they made financially, cut corners, and NBC said, we'll spend the money. And they stole it away from them.
It's paid off. Man, it has paid off. That's Sunday Night Football is a can't-miss game. That's just
And then they paid to be able to flex games.
Yeah, which is huge. Huge to be able to do
Monday
that.
Monday Night Football is stuck with whatever they got.
Yep. It might change, though. And I think the NFL might need to try to protect the Monday night package, or people are going to run away from it, because the Sunday afternoon ones are better when you got multiple games to decide which one to put in there. But what I hear is coming from all the big heavy hitters that I know, Blair, as you know, I'm very well connected at the highest ends of the television networks, is a pure draft.
Of games.
They're going to draft games. There'll be no more. The next one will not have CBS, you know, has AFC, and Fox has NFC. It's going to be a draft. And you're going to be bidding on your draft position.
Oh, how interesting.
So, like, NBC will bid on, for Sunday Night Football, the number one draft position. Then the draft will occur 2 weeks out or whatever. Every single week, they'll just draft through games.
Wow. So every game has a possibility of being flexed.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Yes. Ugh. And so when you buy a ticket, you better be ready to go anytime.
Well, inconveniencing the ticket buying fans, not going to be that's not a consideration. That's happened for decades now. But that's an interesting concept, and I can see where that makes sense to television. It's important for TV to get the best possible matchups and not have a dud as so many Monday Night Football games are. That's interesting, and it's possible now they'll have a 17th game next season to add to the inventory. With just three preseasons.
And consider the fact, as far as another problem for ESPN, is that, like, they can't, whoever picks their games is incompetent. Like, do they literally, like, does the dog go and scratch at a logo and that's how they figure out which game they're going
to
pick?
They always,
because they're
the
biggest collection of dumbasses. They get the team that had hype that you should have known, like the Browns being all over the place.
Yeah.
What did we say before the season? I said, I guarantee you, I love the Browns under was my lock of the year. I said, this team is going to greatly disappoint. And we find that team every single year.
The team that goes 10 losses to 10 wins, and then the third year, you're like, they're going to regress, and they end up with half a dozen of those games
on
Monday Night Football. And they do it.
They're like, gosh, this team's 4-6. Who saw that coming? Well, anyone who look at the history of teams that do what they just did.
It's because the people that run these networks did not come up through the network anymore. They're all – sorry, sales is a tough gig. Right, I think sales is tough, but in advertising and in communications, salespeople run everything. Now, not newspaper. You guys got screwed up. We're screwed up too, by the way, in radio. All of us are. You guys got screwed up by being bought. One jackass.
That's part of
a thousand miles away. That's one of my armchair ones. Because you still have a newspaper guys. Fannin's a newspaper guy.
Yeah, for sure.
But the people who choose the content on the network, at least the sports content on the networks, are not guys who came up through the sports broadcasting,
which is ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
They're money guys. I don't mean to belittle what they did. What they did, I'm sure they're very good at, but they're not qualified to decide which football games should be on the airwaves.
And yet, as we're talking about this, ratings were up this year for regular season. Both the AFC and the NFC games were down ratings wise over previous years, but regular season football made a comeback. Not a comeback, because it's been trending.
You mean
up.
They were down last year?
Well, the ratings for 2019 regular season NFL football were up this year over last year. And And they have been trending upwards since Kaepernick. You know, since the controversy got
put away a couple of years ago,
they were 4 or 5% ahead this year. Now, look, Sunday Night Football won the primetime ratings winner for like the ninth straight year with some of its best ratings ever. So people are watching it. No matter who you put on, people are watching it. But I'm sure the NFL is saying we can maximize our value from the networks. That idea about drafting games, I think, is actually pretty smart.
I do too.
Really smart. And especially if you put like a maximum number of games a team can be, you know, five games, say, only in prime time a year. You can't be on more than five times or something like that. I think that's a
great idea. Well, I don't think the prime time is going to get the number one pick. So you can't just go Pat Mahomes Sunday night all
that's
the time.
Right.
I think there'll be a limit. I'm sure there'll be a limit.
Assuming Fox still has Thursday and then, you know, NBC Sunday and ESPN on Monday, you wouldn't always – you're picking for different time slots during the week.
Right, right. And I think coming down the stretch, like every network, you know, be like, okay, we have second pick. Okay, we have third – this, but this week we have first pick. Like if they all end up spending the same, it'll rotate, or somebody's going to be asked to bid the most to have the number one pick. So, like, an NBC would be wanting to go have that number one pick. So, will they pay $80 billion over the $60 billion that CBS pays?
All leading to my theory that I heard about 10 years ago that eventually the NFL will just be played – all the NFL will just be played in one studio.
Well,
not
and
in a city or a stadium, just in one studio.
I'll tell you what you could do if you're the NFL is you could allow the bidding to also be for the time slot.
Yeah, there you go.
When you have the number one pick, you pick the game and you take Sunday night.
Yeah. I think it'd be pretty smart, actually.
Yeah. That's why we should run the network.
That's right.
We'll take a break. More with Blair Kirchhoff next.
The Program with Soren Petro.
Yeah! It's showtime. Let's do it. It's fun time. Here we go.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we're talking to Blair Kirchhoff from the Kansas City Star. He's brought to you by our friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. 75 brand new GMC Sierras for you to check out right now at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. They are up to 37% off MSRP right now on those 75 brand new GMC Sierras. Go see them at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, I-35 in Santa Fe. All right, Baylor, number one in the country.
How about that?
Of the top eight in the net, one Baylor, three Kansas, and eight West Virginia.
That belies the notion that the Big 12's down.
It does, doesn't it?
Yep. I think at the bottom it's soft. Kansas State, Oklahoma State, maybe.
Texas. Texas sucks.
Oh, my God. Texas, that loss at West Virginia. That loss at West Virginia was off. Fran called him out on the air from another game, you know, called Shaka Smart and Texas soft, which was interesting. So, yeah, I just don't – you know, the Big 12 may be top-heavy. Usually it's, you know, just strong throughout it. You can't count on a victory anywhere on the road. I don't think that's the case this year. Baylor hasn't lost a game on the road, and Kansas.
So who coaches Texas next year? It ain't Shaka Smart, right? They're not going to keep going down this road.
How about Chris Beard?
If he's not been told by Bill Self that, listen, I'm going to coach my way through this FBI thing, and then I'm gone, and then you're the guy at Kansas. But if you're Beard and he's like, listen, they're going to give me eight for 3 years at Texas and I'll go to Kansas anyway. I don't mind if two programs hate me in the same league. I think you make a run at him. And then if you don't get him, because a lot of people think he's next at Kansas now.
Yeah.
Because he's buddies with Bill Self. Then who do you go to? I know who I turn to.
Well, you got a guy, huh?
I got a guy. See if you get a guy.
Who'd be my guy?
Roy Williams. No, I'm kidding.
No,
I got a guy.
I think I know who you're thinking of.
I think you probably do.
I want to hear. I don't know. Who's your guy?
Greg Marshall.
Greg Marshall.
Is that who?
Get it right.
Who
this
are you
time,
thinking?
Jared Haas for some reason.
Texas?
Having a good year, man.
Yeah, I think you were thinking I was talking to Kansas. I was talking about Texas. I think Jared Haas will be on the radar at Kansas. But I think Greg Marshall to Texas would make sense.
Remember we thought last time that would have made a a great deal of sense.
Yeah,
when they hired Shaka.
Yeah, I think I would try for Greg Marshall if I were them.
Have another big year now.
And you know who my next choice is? Second choice, Kelvin Sampson.
Man, I like Kelvin.
They're giving him a lot of money at Houston right now, but
I've always liked him, and he'll go. He would go. He'd go.
You think he would?
I think he would. Yep.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out all right, because it ain't going to be Shaka. I'm pretty confident of that. Blair, great stuff as always. We'll let you get back out to Arrowhead.
Sounds good.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense. Not because it's easy, but because it's better.
You and Jesse can carpool. Which was the first Super Bowl to be played just 1 week after the championship games? Brought to you by Good Sense.